Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tony's gonna go to Saki.
But Daddy, I love him. I'm having his baby. No, I'm not, but you should see your faces.
Is that Taylor?
Yeah.
Is that from the new album?
Yeah. It's hitting for me. There are songs that hit for me. Harder than others. It's a big real old album.
It's a real odyssey of a catalog.
It's a real 31 song.
3 hour
listen. It's an experience. It'll take it out of you. It'll wear you right out. It'll wear you down.
Who is she talking? What is she talking about?
Matty Healy. The whole album is like about him and how obsessed with him she was. They had an on-off relationship for like 10 years. She had like a 10-year long fascination with him. Yeah.
They've known each other for that long?
They've known each other for a long time. Girl, I fell into a TikTok K-hole where the tweens were telling me everything I needed to know.
Wait, so all this time, he was the one she had in mind?
Yeah, even through her relationship. I think for the past 10 years, the people that she's dated have been because she just like couldn't get him to commit. So then she would be in relationships with other people and then be like, I'm just gonna like date Calvin Harris because he's fucking hot and he's into me. I'm just going to date Joe Alwyn because he's hot and he's like British. So I get a little bit of that British dick and he's into me. But secretly, I'm like masturbating, thinking about Maddie. She kind of eats.
Imagine being having a 31 song album written about you.
I know.
Damn, is he that good?
I think like depressed, skinny dick can be that good. Sometimes depressed, potential drug addict
Pete Doherty dick. Pete Doherty.
You get like
Baby Shambles
twisted
dick.
Twisted over Baby Shambles dick. You get twisted. Like Nicole Richie said her, so she was like skinny heroin addict any day of the week. Some women, they ride hard for that. Me personally, I don't like a guy who's skinnier than me, but
Taylor,
I do love a drug addict.
Taylor,
or sex addict.
I'm like actually shook at this. I thought it was about Joe Alwyn.
No, doll. No, doll. There are maybe a couple songs about old boring ass Alwyn, but she's over him. She's been over him. Elizabeth was telling me that there are songs on Folklore and Evermore about Matty Healy.
Does she sing about Travis?
She has one song about him. It's called So High School.
Does she love him, do you think?
I don't know. See, okay, it's interesting you asked this because as I was listening to this album and really putting my thinking cap on, I was like, what is Travis intellectually? Like, if she loves these kind of like dark, sad, poetic,
MySpace
boys. Yeah, she likes a MySpace boy that makes her like feel deep and she can really get like into her emotions and like mine a lot out of that creatively. Then I'm like, you're with this guy who's pretty, like, what you see is what you get. He's funny. He's hot, obviously. But is he really going to inspire that, like, deep, like, ugh, like, heartache poetry writing kind of vibe? And then I was thinking, like, this can't last, because what is he bringing to the table? It's like kind of, he's like kind of like a big hot dum-dum.
Oh, I think it's going to last.
But then I talked to Sierra about it, and she was like, no, this is it for her. Like, she is loving it. He loves to be, like, public. He wants to be out. She wants to be out and about. Also, when she's out with him, it's like she has this fucking bodyguard around her, and he, like, rides for her and just thinks she's a genius.
And he's, like, the most famous athlete now, like, in the world. Mm-hmm. And he's the king of the football. Like, he's the ultimate jock. I think it's actually good for her brand to be with someone like this.
Yeah, and it's like a fantasy kind of coming true. So then I was like, okay, I see that.
I feel like, I admittedly don't know that as much about her as other people do, but, like, mm-hmm. I followed this relationship fairly closely because I was forced to follow it.
Mm-hmm. You can't escape it.
I know so much about the Mahomes and the Kelce family.
It's getting, like, Russian roulette technology just, like, beamed in, like, it's Havana syndrome is actually, you're just beamed news about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift that you didn't sign up for. And didn't
Brittany Mahomes. I know about Brittany Mahomes' like sister. Jesus.
Again?
But yeah, I think.
What do you think, sis?
I think he's the one for her.
I feel like
they can balance each other. And I think you don't need to have. I think there's a great myth that if you are like a dark, if you have a brooding, emotional, like cascading, you know, cave of internal world that she seems to have, that you need someone like that. I actually think it's the opposite. If you have someone like that, you're going to drive each other crazy and you're going to be annoying as fuck and fight all the time. You need like a sweet dum-dum who's
hot as shit.
Who's hot as shit and charming, charismatic as hell. And like
funny.
And funny. And like maybe he's low-key really deep. I don't know.
I know.
And he has good dick.
I was thinking too, like, you don't need to be tortured by your relationship. It's actually not healthy to be sad all the time and like feeling really intense, deep, sad feelings about your relationship.
You don't need to be like a faculty member of the Tortured Poets Department. You need to just like audit.
You need to be a student and then graduate and then leave it all behind.
Leave it behind and like go with that good hog of a man, like that hog dick where he'll
be. And
they
make cute kids together.
Yeah.
If that's what they decide to do with their
lives. If that's what she wants to do. And he like clearly will like, he worships her and like looks at her like goo eyed. Like, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, that's true.
I think he's the one.
We all have to get over our urge to be tortured by our lover.
The feminine gay and gay urge to be tortured.
Mm-hmm. To be absolutely brutalized emotionally.
You don't need that. You can be the torturous one in a relationship and let someone bring you into the light.
Yeah.
Let Travis is the exit door of the department. You know, you need someone to bring you back from the edge because Maddie Healy is going to push you on into that landfill with him.
I know. And then she kind of sings out. She was ready to like fucking just torch her entire life for him. What power?
She needs to go to SLA.
Not no.
Come on.
Not no.
I'm not going to tell her what to do, but like that, you like, girl, you grow the fuck up.
She was not wanting to grow up.
Torch my life. I was like, no, you're not. You're a billionaire. What are you gonna, I'm going to sell my Newport house.
She was ready to burn it all down.
Her and Blake Lively.
Mm-hmm. They're going to make some pie while she torches her life.
I mean, good for her. Maybe this was like the exorcism she needed.
I think it was like an exorcism album where she's just like, I'm going to, like, I have no choice but to write 31 songs about this man and publish them and humiliate myself and then close the chapter and end the story. I'm like, props to you for that, sis.
And then go out with the captain of the football team.
Yeah, go out with like a true tank of a man.
She's the weird girl dating.
I know, it's really like the weird girl that like was made fun of in school gets the last laugh after all.
It's truly that song. You belong with me.
I know.
I'm the girl in the bleachers.
It's cool.
Yeah.
I ride for her. I ride for her saying you wouldn't last an hour in the asylum where they raised me.
I'm sure I wouldn't. She freaks me out. She terrifies me.
She's built different. She's built different. Not like other girls.
No, she is like her brain is like, I think she's a psychopath.
I like it. Now I fucking ride.
It's like I think if she wasn't famous, she would be like a killer. She'd be like an assassin.
She'd be like just a real cunt lawyer.
She'd be Beth Dutton.
She is Beth Dutton vibes.
But like not the like.
But minus the huge tits.
Or the sloppy, like the messiness.
Minus the smudged eyeliner.
She'd be like.
Do you think Taylor's watched Yellowstone?
Yes.
I want her to write a song called Beth Dutton.
Just like Beth Dutton.
She goes, I'll
put on my boots.
A song called Let Me Guess.
I'd like her to do a country album again.
Me too. The Daddy I Love Him song is kind of country.
Who cares, bro? I'm just like, I'm tired of it.
You haven't even listened to it.
No, I just don't like, that her fans.
Did you listen to Midnights?
Yeah, I liked Midnights.
You're going to listen to this.
I don't like how her fans like dox people and like threaten lives.
Obviously.
She scares someone. She's at a level of fame that's frightening.
Obviously.
She's like literally like Nah Baron Harkonnen. Austin Butler. They call him Nah Baron in the little stadium.
That is her on Eras Tour.
That's her.
That was Eras Tour.
It was.
Mm-hmm. Was actually Austin Butler's like gladiator vibe in Dune.
It kind of just reminded it was just very like Reverend Moon marrying people en masse. It was like the Moonies.
That's kind of cool. She has a song called I Can Do It With a Broken Heart that's all about how she was like slaying on Eras Tour, like giving the performance of a lifetime, like fans eating it up, and the whole time she's like maniacally depressed and like wants to die.
Sorry, but no one will ever do it better than Katy Perry crying on her way up to...
That's a life of a true star.
Putting on like a cupcake tit bra.
It's been having... your handlers fasten like icing bras to you and you being like and then going up and being like
someone posted like throwback to Rihanna and Katie's friendship. Remember their best are they still friends, you think?
Probably not.
They were like inseparable.
They were ride or dies.
They would always be giggling and like gossiping together at
award
shows.
They were shenanigans.
One's better than Melissa and Rihanna though.
Mm-hmm.
Her bestie.
I love them. The military tried to create a gay bomb.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Hold on.
The idea of a gay bomb came from the desire to debilitate and distract their opponents, but not necessarily kill them.
Yeah. So in 1994, the U.S. Department of Defense was looking into theoretical chemical weapons that would do what you just say. And they began exploring alternate options. And they said... what would distract or delude a soldier long enough to mount an attack without causing the soldier any bodily harm? The answer seemed obvious. Sex. So they came up with a bioweapon that could turn enemy soldiers gay and have all their units break down because all their soldiers became irresistibly attractive to one another.
Well, they didn't ever actually
They wanted to create like
a
pheromone.
It was a theoretical bomb. So they like thought, what if we made this bomb that just made everyone gay?
Pheromones,
which is a great idea in theory. In theory, absolutely.
Just like a ravenous orgy happening in the barracks. As
to be fair, being in the military is gay, so why not just
speak
like spray
it.
Them and let them take the extra step to sucking and fucking in the open.
Speak more on it.
Isn't it gay to sign up to be with a bunch of men and do drills and like sleep in bunk beds and like wear costumes
and shower together
and clean guns and shower together and like wear lace up your boots and like make it's gay to make your bed with like corners.
So add some biologically created pheromones.
You're literally
thinking
this way where they're like they are truly all it takes is like the right pheromone for these guys to just go fucking ape shit on each other.
And this makes me think that they actually did make it, because I feel like when it comes to this kind of shit, theory always leads to
practice.
Like, there's probably like in some vault.
What if you're not actually gay, but you accidentally just got sprayed with this pheromone
in the early 90s?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Did you ever, what if you remember like department stores when you walk through and they just spritz you?
Yeah.
What if that happened to you as a child?
I was part of an experiment. They were like,
East Coast. What if all the gays, the coastal gays, are just part of a mass experiment where the government had ladies in the perfume department stores? They targeted men whose mothers took them shopping.
They would see
as
like
kids.
They would see like a mother, an overly involved mother with their dear young son, and they'd say, "He's a prime candidate."
They'd spray every little boy in the department store, and then maybe that's how all the gays came to be.
I think we should look into this.
I mean, I'm onto something.
Yeah.
I can feel it.
But try
and fucking tell me being in the military isn't the gayest thing you could possibly do.
It is certainly homoerotic.
Holding guns all the time, cleaning them.
Cleaning toilets.
Cleaning toilets with toothbrushes.
Drill sergeants are inherently gay. They're like,
a man
fuck me, daddy.
Flipping like a coin and bouncing a coin off your bed is the gayest thing I've ever heard.
Boing. That's
being not tight enough.
I just love that, like, they were trying to weaponize that. Like, it's just so funny.
Weaponize sex.
Yeah.
I think it wasn't necessarily a gay bomb.
No.
I think it was like anyone. It would be used on soldiers who majority are men.
Right.
But theoretically, you could drop the gay bomb at the blood rave and it would have the same effect.
It's kind of Cronenberg. Because there was a movie, Cronenberg made a movie in the 70s called The Shivers. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It was one of his early movies. It's really fucked up.
It sounds cool.
It's like a scientist testing a man-made parasite that can like be a replacement organ for people.
Mm-hmm.
In his lab, which is in his apartment in this like Toronto high rise, and the parasite gets loose and it reproduces and it turns everyone into the building into like sex crazed zombies. So they're all like raping and like fucking each other.
Whoa.
It's wild.
That's very gay bomb.
Mm-hmm.
They also thought of a bomb that would like just attract a lot of bees. They were like, what if we had a bomb that just like the bees, I say, I hope it does.
That's sick. That's like, that kind of shit is so like just slightly annoying, can drive people to madness.
Well, angry bees to sting you.
Oh, I thought it was just like one day you just notice an uptick in bees and it's like people are getting stung.
It's not as sophisticated as that. It's literally just like a pheromone that would attract bees. I am back on my bee bullshit and I crave them.
Are you?
I need somewhere to go where I can really get.
Go back to that place.
I know, but you have to pay.
There's probably somewhere in like Malibu or something.
I emailed like a beekeeper last year and I was like, do you need an apprentice? He never fucking got back to me.
Well, follow up.
I'm going to. I'm craving.
Say circling back.
Circling back like a busy bee. Let me assist you for free.
What if there's like a bee farm in like Zuma Beach?
That seems, it's far, but I would consider it.
And every day you would look out, you'd like pat down your hat and look out at the ocean and go.
Here's the thing is I'm like, I know there has to be a beekeeper that like tends to rich people with like apiaries homes. So like, just let me tag along. I'll wear the bee suit and I will be so grateful to be there. And like, that's all I crave. I crave being around swarms of honeybees.
I'm pretty sure in one of the like season 7 or 6 of Vanderpump, there was a moment where they were out in Lisa's backyard and I swear she had beehives.
She probably does.
Yeah. She seems like,
if you're rich and you live in LA and you like animals, the chance that you have a beehive is strong.
She seems like a real beehive girl.
I know. I just really need to get near some bees buzzing. What's
it
going to take? I get really close to flowers where they are. Just try and listen to them.
You love them.
I love them.
They are,
I would
incredible.
Love for them to crawl all over my hand. I'm not at a place of like bees on my skin just yet, but I would love to get to a point where I just like dip my hand in the hive and like have a bee hand.
I respect them, and I fear for their survival because they're going extinct, and that's gonna...
We must protect them at all costs.
It's gonna collapse our ecosystem, but I'm also like, stay away from me.
Yeah.
But I have a healthy respect. I say, do your thing, leave me out of it.
And they will.
Yeah. So go do your beehive thing.
Gotta do some bee business.
And report back.
I will. If anyone listening to the pod has a hookup to like a beekeeper, let me know.
Any Southern California bee heads.
I know. Just please loop me in. Give me the bees.
What if this becomes your thing and you're like, I must change my life and like, sorry, I'm closing my pod and becoming a beekeeper?
I'm trying to do that. That's like what my ultimate goal is to... You have to own a home, unfortunately. You can't like beekeep in an apartment. I've looked into it.
There's got to be a bee community in California.
I think there is. Just take some like... Let's research, mama.
Yeah.
I say to myself.
There's probably like a hot beekeeper guy.
I know. There was one at the Ojai Valley Inn. Mm. A really sexy beekeeper man.
There's got to be more than just him.
I know. It's a thing for truly only the sexiest people.
Geniuses.
Bees. It's a genius level job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll make some honey.
Maybe
and then peddle it like Ms. Markle.
What if she sells your honey?
What if she said, hey, I heard your podcast and I heard you're looking to tend to some bees. Come over to
Montecito. To the American Riviera Orchard.
And tend to my bees. I'd say, okay. Be right there.
My best friend just started watching Suits. He said she's an incredible actress.
Really?
Yeah. Sierra also said she was really good. Everyone is a Suits head. The biggest show of all time on Netflix. I'll never forget being on a plane and looking over at this ultra bro and he's watching Suits on his laptop.
Why is everyone high-key obsessed with Suits?
You won't find me watching it. Sorry.
I'm not in my Suits era.
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
That's a show for like terminal illness. You know what I mean? Where you're like, ugh, God, I have like stage 5 cancer. I'm going to watch Suits.
Mm-hmm.
That's a saving for that. That's
like a hospice show?
That's Harry Potter to me too. Is like,
I've never read Harry Potter,
but I've now decided I'm
seen
saving
the movies?
It. Unfortunately.
That's the same thing with me. I read the first book and no other book, but I've seen all the fucking movies.
They always showed the movies at boarding school. I was like, we get one night a fucking week to watch a movie, and you're going to sit here and make me, an 18-year-old woman, watch Harry fucking Potter. Fuck you.
I saw Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the final one, in London when I was abroad. I was like, why am I doing this?
Wow. Well,
I guess
very London thing
to
do.
Yeah, I guess it was pretty appropriate.
No, that and Suits are in the terminal illness category for me.
Okay.
That's a hospital. That's like something to look forward to while in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll always have that. We'll always have Suits, I say to myself.
McGain.
But we have bigger fish to fry.
We've got VPR.
We have a valley to tend to.
Valley, which felt kind of, for a second, thought I was watching VPR.
I know.
When they were in the Mondrian. I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to Sexy, Sexy Unique
Bees.
Bees.
Valley of the Dolls.
Valley of the Dolls. So we start out at Kristen's apartment.
Luke and Dodie are chatting pregnancy.
Kristen's apartment looks like one of those apartments near the Grove that Lauren Conrad lived in.
Mm-hmm. It has such like a temporary energy to it.
Much like everything in her life. Luke is hot. I had a moment.
I respectfully disagree.
I had a moment where I was like, I know he's like, there was a moment where I was like, he scares me deeply to my core, but like, there's something like...
There's something about her, you said.
Yeah.
I didn't realize what a fucking freak he was.
He's
I didn't
odd.
Understand what like a school shooter he was.
He's total school shooter.
He's
my Matty Healy.
Shoot up, sir.
My torture post department is like having the hots for a school shooter. he has a gecko. Which
no,
is a, that's
I was
a red
like,
flag.
This man, when I saw the gecko and I was like, what? And then I feel like I truly saw him for who he is. And then when Dodie revealed that he like lives on a homestead with no water that just got electricity, I was like, oh wait, she's dating like fucking like Waco.
He's giving Davidian Branch. He has a dog named Jill.
I like that. See, that Jill was like a red hair. Like, it threw me off. I was like, that's cool. But then...
the gecko freaked me out so much. If you're... why are you as a man over 30 with a gecko?
Mm-mm.
Sorry.
No.
Kristen looks beautiful in this moment.
She wants to be filled with cum and make a baby.
She's desperate for cum.
She's truly cum hungry.
She goes, let me sit down on the floor. I'm better on the floor. I was like...
she knows herself.
She knows her angles. She knows who she is. She really does not want to live in Colorado. She's freaked out by it. She's like, I want to, how can I Postmates?
Now I get it. Because I thought like she was just going to be like in a cute cabin in a neighborhood. I didn't realize that he's
off grid. He's like, he's prepping. He wants to create
literally about to have a baby with like a militia.
No, he wants to, I really think he's in some sort of like Colorado militia, and he wants to build like an army of children with Dodie.
He's literally building like bombs in like the second bedroom of their cursed valley apartment.
He's prepping for something.
He's McVeigh coded.
Yeah. He goes, it's honestly weird that I live anywhere without a fishing pole. I was like, whoa.
Fishing is a safe space.
But I'm truly, it's funny when you watch something and you're just like, I cannot relate to this person in any way.
I was like, how does Dodie relate to this person? She literally had to find someone off-grid because that was the only thing left in her dating pool. Because
he'd never seen Vanderpump Rules.
He doesn't watch TV.
He still doesn't really understand.
Like, he doesn't understand what's going on when, like, cameras show up to film her.
He's like, look around at this place. If we bring a child in, like, this feels like your apartment and it doesn't seem like a place to raise a kid.
She goes, so you don't like my decorations? He was like... no, that's not what I'm really saying. But when we go to Colorado, like, we're going to go through my stuff and see what we can bring back. She goes, yeah, it was like 99 degrees there last time. Like, we couldn't do that. Like, it's like, how am I going to fucking live there? I was like, bitch, you live in the valley. It's like 200 degrees.
Yeah. It's 10 degrees hotter in the valley.
Yeah.
Jax meets Jasmine at a tavern.
I was like, these two people have never talked before in their lives.
This was weird.
This was bizarre.
Jasmine's far too cool and normal to be on the show.
I was like, get the paycheck by all means.
Yeah.
But like, what?
But also I was like, the only person who can keep Jax in line is a lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of made sense to me.
Jax literally stopped me in my goddamn tracks when he said that Britney's love language is his mouth between her legs.
Yeah.
I got horny.
He knows how to pleasure Britney. That's why she wants date night. Because she wants to get her
Britney is fully eaten. Tortured poet society over Jax. Yeah.
Jasmine's basically like, you know, I think you should put a little more effort into like making her feel loved and like attractive and make her feel beautiful. And Jax is like, I know she's very insecure about herself. I was like, bitch.
She's like, have you ever thought about doing a date night?
She goes, you know, you should maybe try some things like a date. And he goes, oh, yeah, Brittany definitely wants date nights.
She goes, maybe, she loves, like, a compliment. You could do that.
This is bottom of the barrel. When your girlfriend's having to tell your husband.
When a strange lesbian has come to you that you've never known before and asks you to have a beer and tells you how to make your girlfriend feel good, you have really fallen off. The relationship is over.
The sad thing for me is that Jax looked really good in this episode.
Oh, beyond. When he said that thing about the love language, I was like, fully, I ride for my king. I was like, rail me, Jax.
He also then starts gossiping because that's his favorite thing
to do. That's his love language.
He says that Michelle texts other men, and that's the secret. That
I would too if I were her.
Yeah, me too.
Are you kidding? I'd be texting other men and women. I'd be having a secret life.
This whole episode was so Jax. Every new scene was Jax.
Thank God. When the scenes that weren't Jax, I was
praying
like,
for them to be over.
I know. I was like, who the fuck cares about these creatures?
Jax is, there's like this amazing shot where he's on his son's little swing set and there's like this push-in camera of like, and he's on his phone. And I was like, what is this like kind of like con error?
Sometimes like you can tell when film, like former film students who have now found themselves in production on reality TV decide to have like their own Scorsese cinematography moment, and I love that for them. Jax does an Android bit. He does like a Type 5 on Androids.
There's an Echo and he's on his phone call with Danny. Which,
this is like a skit that he came up with.
I relate to this because my mom has an iPhone, but anytime she calls me, there's an Echo. Like when she's driving.
Why is that? From the Bluetooth?
No, I think they live near University of Miami and there's like cell phone towers and I think they like fuck up.
They cause an Echo?
Yeah.
So Jax is hosting a party for a hair loss company.
At none other than the Mondrian. And he's finally addressing what straight men and gay men should all be talking about, which is hair loss.
Mm-hmm.
He's losing his hair and he's partnered up with a company to launch a like shampoo kind of hair growing product.
And clear.
And then Danny...
Who is going to buy this from him?
Some people.
That's the craziest thing to me because I was like, I would never buy a single thing that this man sells. Like, there's no fucking way. But then I was like, they must think that many people will see this partnership and be like, wow, I can't wait to get my hands on that product. Like, I need that in my life.
Let me cut to him at like a boardroom with like eight. It was like that skit in I Think You Should Leave with the old man. I was like, who are these old dudes?
Who are these old men who are like, you know what I need to do is meet with Jax Taylor in the boardroom. And Jax is also like doing more comedy for them. Like, it's like, you know that they're talking about like metrics or something like very dry. And then Jax is like, I'm a man, you know, like I want something easy. I want like shampoo. I want conditioner. I can't do 25 steps. Can you do 25 steps? That just ain't me. That just ain't me when I wake up in the morning. And it's like, no one asked him.
No. He also like is just on this streak where he's just like getting endowed with money from old investors and not spending a cent, but like plugging it.
Like just being like,
I'm the face.
I'm the face. I don't care. His thing is, I'm the face. I don't care. I don't know anything, but I'm the face and you should fuck with this.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, okay.
It's like what Elizabeth Holmes did. Old men were just like, sure.
Yeah, but she was like, I'm the face and I care a lot and this is real and you should donate one drop of blood to me. With just one drop of your blood, I could change your life. And Jax is taking a whole new approach that actually is kind of punk to just be like, I don't give a fucking rat's ass about this restaurant. I don't even know who these people are that have this hair thing. I'm just doing it. Buy it and come here.
Then we cut to Michelle. I'm like, what is this scene? I'm sorry. She takes her daughter to a play place and she goes in down the slide with her and she's talking about she doesn't want her daughter to see her miserable marriage. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't want to see this. I don't give a fuck.
Why did I like enjoy that her and her daughter together? I liked seeing her happy without her horrific husband.
Yeah, sure. But I'm also just like, this is boring.
I know. Like, they need to have a scene of her like meeting up with her secret boyfriend.
Jason and Jesse come over to Danny and Nia's to help them set up a nursery bed because Nia has a brand sponsorship.
I was fuguing during this.
I was
I went cross-eyed.
So none of the men are handy, which I kind of enjoy that they're like open about it. They don't know what they're doing. Jesse's like, I can give you advice on Capri, but I can't build a bed.
No, I can't get my hands dirty. I said, where's Dodie?
Seriously.
And then hashtag give them Dodie.
Or Maloney.
I need Dodie or Maloney to drive a car through the wall.
Katie's really handy. And Brittany's handy.
Yeah, Dodie.
All the women are really handy on this, on VPR.
They
Set
are.
Of Universe.
But I was truly like nodding off.
And basically, then, the big info we get is that Jesse, to save his marriage, is going to do ayahuasca. And Danny and...
This is the absolute thing a man who has no interest in saving his marriage would do.
And Jesse and Jason are like, why don't you just go to therapy? He's like, nah, I'm going to do plant-based ayahuasca.
Because he told me I need to do psilocybin and ayahuasca. Because I really want to like separate from my ego by seeing it. And like honoring it and like seeing it as its own entity. I was like, so you just want to, that is ego.
I want to see the boy, Jax and Jesse do ayahuasca.
I would love to see all the entire cast, even Janet, the pregnant lady, do ayahuasca.
Hold on a second. We'll get to it, but I'm like,
are you confused?
Mandela effect.
What?
Mandela effect. I was like, is Janet not pregnant anymore? Did she have her baby?
No, she's preg.
There was a moment in that where I looked at her and I was like, I feel like she's had her baby somehow, secretly.
I don't know.
We'll get to it.
Yeah.
Jax and Brittany are driving their golf cart through the valley.
I didn't know that it was like legal to just drive a golf cart around.
I wrote, this is insane. And I wrote, Brittany looks so uncomfortable. She's going like, Jax is going, driving over the freeway overpass. I was like,
it's also just so hot outside. And their marriage is, they're in a really bad place. The way that they speak to each other and approach like any sort of conversation and their body language, I was like, this is torched. You got to get out of there.
But this golf cart thing was really like, yeah, I want to know, like, does he have a permit? Like, is this allowed? Is this, it's like one of the, it's a, I guess it's the same thing as like those three wheeled cars.
Let's Google it, mama.
Because I'm like, okay, it's kind of fun, but it's also like, what?
Golf carts are street legal in California, but only when they're properly equipped.
Okay.
A street legal version of a golf cart is a motor vehicle that's based on the traditional body design made to carry golf equipment, but has been modified to meet California's requirements for street driving.
All right.
Should I get a golf cart?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't go that far of distances.
Just go to like Whole Foods.
Maybe a golf cart would really like mix things up.
Be cool if LA was just full of like golf cart a la like old cars, jalopy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
This seems like
a sleigh.
I'm into it.
Okay.
I'm into like golf cart life. Like that feels very resort to me.
Yeah, it's very
in
like,
a way that makes things like fun again.
It's very like Hilton Head.
Mm-hmm. It's like Catalina.
Mm-hmm. Jax, they go check out Jax's bar. It looks like a circus tent.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck? I hate this place.
Does it have a roof?
Probably not. I don't like it at all. I won't be going there.
Imagine like you're there during like a wind, like the Santa Ana's, and it's just like flapping.
I'm like ready for like an elephant to walk through there.
Yeah.
People keep trying to lure me to Jax's Studio City, and I need to really like take a strong stance and like set a boundary. And my boundary is I'm not fucking going there.
Yeah. I've been lured too.
You cannot make me go there, and I won't go, period.
Cut to us a week later and we're like having a great time.
Yeah.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Carrie, have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised?
Every other week.
Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why.
Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine?
So sick, but all is not lost because that's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead.
Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin.
Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any other on the market.
Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription.
Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, Princess Diana. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Disintel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers. Stretching back into the history of the British monarchy, did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Disintel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Are you ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? Give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos, and you will rise to the top of the heap, and you will be deified and worshipped for the rest of your days walking this planet.
Because as anyone who has siblings know, that's the only goal on Mother's Day, is to be the favorite.
And if you're an only child, you're still competing with all your other extended family members, and it's important to wage a war and come out on top.
If you're an only child, you're also at war with yourself.
So what you can do is get your mother or the preeminent mother figure in your life an Aura frame. You load it up with photos. It's literally the easiest thing to do. And I know that you might be thinking, ew, digital frames are bleak, but I'm telling you, this Aura frame is chic.
And the best part is it has unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, so you can keep updating your mother or mother figure's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving and uploading.
I gave my mom an Aura frame, and she had resisted for so long because she's truly anti-technology, like barely even understands right. How to FaceTime. And I said, just let me. And I set it all up for her. I plugged it in. I fired up the app. I preloaded pictures on it, and now she's so into it that she figured out how to preload pictures and even runs it from her app, which is truly saying a lot because she refuses to download apps. She thinks everyone's spying on her, stealing her data, and the fact that I was able to break through and she literally loves this frame, like loaded it up with pictures of her cat, I was like, we did it, Joe. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AuraFrames.com. Use code SUP at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Brittany kind of is inspecting because she's got her stake in the business too.
I just want to be consulted. I just want to see how everything looks.
I want to be part of it. I want to be involved. And then she and Jax sit, and they are so... Jax is literally having, like, a panic. He actually says, I'm on the verge of tears because I'm so, like, overwhelmed by you and our marriage and having a kid in this business.
I think he hates Brittany. I think he exhibits, like, true disgust and hatred towards her.
She goes, well, we're still trying to have a baby next month, right? And he goes, yeah, of course I want to have another kid. I'm just like very overwhelmed. She goes, well, we could have a date night.
She goes, well, we could start by just being together, having fun with each other, having date night.
maybe we could, you know, have a date night. And he starts crying. And
when she says date night, he literally teared up and he was like, I'm going to break down.
She goes, why are you upset? And he goes, because I'm so overwhelmed.
This is a man who, A, does... wants nothing to do with this woman, who has no regard for her, who's actively like not turned on by her, and is realizing like I'm married to this person.
I had a child with this person that I'm responsible for. In this moment I feel like he wants to leave it all behind.
To change your identity. Only in it for Jax's Studio City. He cares about three things: Jax's Studio City, his golf cart, and Cruise. And that's now tethering him to this reality.
She goes, what's making you cry? The thought of date night?
We could just spend time together, compliment each other, have a little sex, and maybe date night.
She goes, I want to have sexy time. I want you to make me feel good.
I was like, I can't. Like, your approach on this is all wrong. You can't demand for someone to do that.
Sex and date night are two different things. Date night is when you go out on the town. Brittany wants to go out on the town and take shots and get GERD.
She does. She wants to take shots like the good old times. And then she wants to like take shots, black out, come to, brown out, come to, and then get fucked in the ass.
And then GERD.
And then wake up the next day and be like... like kind of vomiting and burping all day.
Remember?
And have her man and have her man also be hungover, but then be like, can I sniff your feet? And then sniff her feet and jerk off onto them. Those are like the good old days of their old West Hollywood apartment.
Date night.
When we didn't have kids, we'd have date night all the time. And I think Jax is like sexually haunted.
For all time.
Let's have date night all the time. Date night. It's like, Jax is someone who's like,
he's haunted
by Britney.
He feels
like sexually haunted by her.
Why?
Because everyone's like, Britney used to be a freak. And I'm like, I think I know what they mean is just like they had some really raunchy sex. I think that they had like.
He feels ashamed of himself.
So, and
they
I think
had unspeakable
they
sex,
had, like, unspeakable, horrific sex. And I think that he cannot imagine going back to that kind of sexual place
because she's a mother person. Now. And he's like,
it's Madonna horror, but it's yeah. also just like he knows that date night will lead to like horrors beyond his comprehension, and he can't do it. But the thing is, I think once you're for women, like once your world has opened up like that sexually, you're like, I want to do this with this person all the time.
Date night.
I need date night every night. If not every night, at least twice a week. Okay.
It's very, it's giving Peyton in season one of Rock of Love being like, I just need my one on one time.
I need more time with Brett.
I need my one-on-one time.
It's giving rodeo, too.
It's giving rodeo. Like, I think once you get horned the fuck up as a woman, your body craves date night. But men, sometimes men...
Become afraid.
Become afraid.
As they get older, men get more scared.
Men get scared of date night. Do you think that's true? I think that that's kind of true.
I mean, not...
No, no.
Not for me.
Not gay men.
Yeah, but
gay
for...
men are having depraved sex. Like, gay men never get scared.
But, like, yeah, I think men
but the
get...
the stakes are different for them.
I think men get insecure about getting old, and they feel like they're, like, they get sad about it, and they don't feel, like, sexy and, like, virile anymore.
I know, and I feel like gay men kind of keep it hot with each other.
Yeah.
And they stay hot for each other, but it's hard. But, like, straight couples, if someone's, like...
Gay men do date night a little differently.
Gay men are having dates. Britney goes, you know how I feel about the gays, okay? But they do be having date night a lot.
I think we should be more like them in some ways and leave the rest at the door.
You know, I think gays are fucking disgusting, but what I will say is that they have a fucking date night. All right. That's when she talks to their mom.
The curious case of date night.
Piss myself.
Peace.
But I think like straightness.
Brittany wants to like pee on Jax.
I know. She wants him to like piss in her mouth.
And he's like, I can't.
He's like, I can't do it.
He's like, he needs to man up and go on date night. Take a woman on date night.
She needs to kind of enslave him.
Well, now I think they're over fully.
Yeah.
I think she's leaving his ass. Jax's Mondrian event, another Jax scene.
This
Schwartz is
the
there.
The Mondrian is truly ground zero.
Sinister Logan is there, too.
No.
Yeah.
He's always, like, creeping around.
Schwartz is like, ah, this is fun.
He's like, this is, like, old time's sake. Everyone's like, God, I remember when.
Kristen brings Luke in, and she goes, this is where we used to get schwasted.
He's, like, making a mental note of where the exits are so he can block them.
I swear to God, it looked like Janet wasn't pregnant anymore. I feel like, did she have her baby, like, off screen, and they just, like, time has gone by? I had this moment where I was like, wait, she looks different.
I don't know. I wasn't paying that much of attention.
I mean, she looks great either way, but, like, I'm just like, whoa.
I wasn't paying that much of attention to a woman's body, Carrie.
Okay.
No, I don't know. She maybe this was filmed before.
She's out on date night.
Michelle comes over.
Everyone's been having date night but me.
Jesse starts talking up this girl named Gabby, who's a pop-up vendor for, like, a Burning Man clothing line
well,
she does.
First and foremost, Jax gives a big speech with the CEO of this, like...
It's like a money laundering.
This is... I know. I was like, this is corporate...
This is Ozark.
This is bizarre. This, like, bald guy's, like, watching as Jax gives a big moving speech, which he does have a hair thinning. I saw it. It's not quarter sized.
It's a patch.
She's starting.
They point it out.
Yeah. But he's like kind of downplaying it. And then everyone else like weighs in and to be like, Jax has great hair. So wait, we don't get why he's doing it.
I went the lies.
I know,
the
they're
lies.
All supporting each other's like sick, twisted
just
lies.
Just go on Propecia.
Jax, I know. And
stop. It doesn't make you like less of a man if you're on Propecia. It makes you more of a man.
Jax said that he had a photo shoot with Britney, and then he was looking through the digitals and noticed a tiny little bald spot, maybe the size of a quarter. And he went into the garage and started spraying his head with spray paint.
That's probably made it worse. That's going to make you lose more hair.
Yeah, that's also going to like give you cancer.
Give you lead poisoning.
Someone's like, is that true? And he's like, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, he went out to the garage and poured it. I said, what you going to do over there?
Did he see a bald spot or did Britney say, you know, we're all dolled up from this photo shoot. You know, it'd be really fun to do. Date night. And then he went and tried to like self-immolate.
He went in the garage to turn the car on. And then he actually looked in the mirror and was like,
and then he was like, I'll just like huff.
And then he started the engine and then she opened the door and goes, baby, you ready for date night yet?
Oh, you get in the car? Give me 5 minutes. I'll be ready for date night in just a second.
And he went.
So
this girl, Gabby, is like kind of trying to seduce all the men into buying her like her lampshade hats.
But I was also like, is the Mondrian just like the marketplace, the town square?
It's a bazaar. It's full like...
It's got like, full European bazaar.
It's literally like Turkish bazaar at the Mondrian.
It's a craft fair at the Mondrian.
People are like, it's medieval, it's fiefdom. People are selling
their wares.
Their wares, their vegetables.
Halfway expected Dodie to have a stand, her iron forging stand.
Wait, I have a question.
What?
Because Dodie was like supporting Carter.
Mm-hmm.
How did she make money?
I don't know if she did make money.
Well, she was paying for his like Beamer. I like Googled it. Like, I Googled if like she came from money.
No. The answer to that is a resounding nunca. No. Nine.
But like,
I mean, she was an OG.
Carter came from money. I think I remember hearing that. Maybe I'm being misinformation right now, but I'm pretty sure. So he was just being a total mooch.
I think Dodie probably at one point was making good coin because she'd been on a show for like
a decade.
Yeah. And her rate, like per season, she's probably making like a few hundred thou a year. And
that's
saving...
true. I forgot that they're on a show.
I know.
I'm like,
but
these
I
destitute
think
people.
She probably, I don't know what her savings were like. She was able to like put a down payment on a house. But
we all know she and Luke are doing date night.
And
sorry.
No, I think.
No, I said sorry. I keep saying date night.
No, I love date night. But I think that, I don't know, I'm haunted by the state of her finances.
Me
and like the
too.
The void that she is no doubt witnessed as a result of like her own life choices scares the living. It scares me. It makes me want to be a Christian. It makes me want to pray.
Yeah,
because it scares me so much.
I can't believe in a God that would let this happen.
It makes me realize that like life is full of impermanence.
So Jesse starts really flirting with this girl and he's like, she's like, are you going to come to Burning Man or come to my flea market tomorrow where I'm selling more of this? And he's like, where is that at? Like they're vibing.
He's like, sometimes I get a little charming. Sometimes I charm people a little too much with my charm. And he's no, you're flirting.
He's like, you wouldn't think it with what my wife says, but I am capable of being charming once in a while.
This is a man who to me is flailing. And
also,
I think that
Gabby's another FBI agent.
She is. She's full. She's issued from. She flew in from the Pentagon that morning and set up shop in the town bazaar. I did not know that
one
must only walk down Sunset and take a left into the Mondrian's to enter the bazaar where people trade, where trade is flourishing. It's a fucking spice market there. What the fuck? This is the future of the trade. People are like selling like satchels. You can get like a tarot reading in the town bazaar.
The fortune teller.
Literally, you can get a turkey leg in the fucking Mondrian by the pool. This is the state, by the way, of hotels in Los Angeles.
This is the state of our country.
This is the state of our country,
city.
And specifically hotels in Los Angeles, where, like...
Business is so bad.
Business is so bad they're run the fuck down, but they're also operating like a flourishing medieval bazaar in the middle of the courtyard.
It's Red Fair up in this shit.
It is.
It's a fucking...
They're having like a fucking...
There's like chickens everywhere.
They're like, people are like renting out booths to like to like display at the Mondrian convention.
To sleep in and sell.
This was a full-blown like convention that took place of like small businesses. This was like an Etsy convention.
The fiefdom knows no bounds. Jack's got a piece of the fiefdom.
You enter the bazaar and you hear like... You see like poppets. Someone's doing like poppets of knights fighting each other.
What say you?
So he's like, he stole a loaf of bread.
Off, kill him.
Kill him.
So they all go into this weird like conference room where they set up like a dinner for everyone, and it's like in the hotel. It's freaking, it's so bizarre. It's in the bowels of the hotel.
The Mondrian is right now, what I'm learning just from watching Vanderpump Rules in the Valley, the Mondrian is on the precipice of financial collapse.
It is.
They are so hard up for any shred of cash they can get. They are allowing FBI agents to come set up booths in the bazaar and like hosting dinners where it was like, who's catering this dinner? It looks like they ordered out and then they set salmon in bowls.
Everything starts immediately getting weird. Jesse has rage issues. He's
pouting.
Well, I think
he's a man on the brim because his wife is leaving him and he has no power in this relationship.
He's been emasculated.
And, he's emasculated.
And rightfully so.
We love to see it.
We love to see
and
him get.
And the only like hope of any shred of power he has is flirting with a CIA operative.
But Michelle even put, she squashed that too immediately.
She goes, what are you talking about?
She goes, where's my husband? And she goes, we're leaving. I was like, hell yeah. Deprive him of everything and do everything that you're...
I really hope that she is just like running the show in this way behind the scenes.
So...
he's really sad and pouting because Michelle said, I'm leaving your ass. I'm getting a divorce.
But what she does is really fascinating. She goes, why is my husband so upset? I don't know why.
I was empowered by that.
She goes,
I was like, Katie Maloney better be sitting and taking notes.
She goes, wow, what's wrong with you in front of everyone? And then Jax comes over and he's like, are you all right, buddy? And she goes, I don't know what's wrong with him. He's just really upset. I was like, wow.
She's powerful for that. Ladies, if you want the upper hand,
do what Michelle does.
You need to follow Michelle's every move.
And then Kristen goes to Jesse. She goes, Jesse starts getting like testy at everyone. And she goes, out of nowhere, you just hear Kristen in the background go, how rude are you at Jax's dinner? And then he...
Wait, there's also a moment where they have everyone say how amazing Jax's hair is, where it cuts to Dodie and she, in her confessional, she's sitting next to Luke and she goes, Jax has a great head of hair. And I was like, slow down, horn dog. Like, come on.
And then immediately after he hears Dodie's voice, Jesse goes, slams the table.
And she goes,
that's also medieval. Silence!
They are fully
lords.
Lords and ladies.
He goes,
She goes, wow.
That was really unnecessary.
Whoa.
Really, really unnecessary.
Abusive.
It's chaos. Everyone gets really mad. Jesse wants to go to Burning Man. And then involves everyone. And then at one point, Jesse and Michelle...
Wait, there's a moment before the dinner where Jax and Jesse wear, like, they take the Burning Man FBI agent's clothes and they wear them.
Oh, yeah.
All, and, like, Jesse dances with Mama, who makes an appearance.
Oh, forgot Mama comes.
Girl,
which is so...
Mama descends.
Mama comes to the... She's the queen of the bazaar.
And she does... She goes... The music is like... Ooh, she goes
like a snake charmer.
Yeah, she goes and performs for shillings in the middle of the bazaar, and Jesse joins.
Brittany goes, oh, she goes, look, everyone, my Mima's hair.
It's Mama.
It's Mama. She's here.
Give it up for Mama. And everyone's like, boo. And there's this woman, like, Jesse and Mama dance, and Michelle goes, she can have him. Please, she can have him. And then they finish their dance, and they break apart. And there was just this woman standing behind them that I noticed, who's, like, with a man who's pointing some things out to her, but her eyes are wide with terror. Like, she literally is like this.
Yeah, what
and
did
this
she
man
see?
Is like pointing things out, and I feel like it was like he was explaining like the lore of Vanderpump Rules in the Valley to her, and like who these people are and what these cameras are for. And her face was truly like she was having a reaction of just pure horror.
What if he looked up? They looked up and they saw someone like getting stabbed in one of the hotel rooms.
They look up and they see Sherry like fucking. In the corner of the tent of the room in the bedroom in the ceiling.
Her neon lips glowing. Mm-hmm. Basically, Kristen and Luke are just like, everyone hates them so much. And Luke has he doesn't really understand. So he immediately goes to a place of defending Kristen, which like he should, but like he is just digging himself into this. And I'm like, Luke.
Kristen goes, God, Jesse is such a douchebag. Like, I have to go. He's a douchebag. And I never say that to people. And Luke goes, you literally called me a douchebag like yesterday. And she goes, are you really doing this right now? Are you really going to do this right now? She goes, I'm the only sober person here, so I'm going to leave. And I was like, you may be sober, but you're deeply mentally ill.
I think she's at a point where it's like, no matter how sober she gets, she's a little drunk. She's like,
she's a little twisted.
Yeah.
And so she's like, I have to go. Like, I cannot bear witness to like abusive behavior. This is abusive.
The witness returned.
And Jasmine goes, what is going on with you? And Kristen goes, I'm so sorry, but I'm going to excuse myself now and I'm going to go. And she gets up to leave. And then you just hear her and a producer talking. She's still mic'd up.
Yeah.
And she's rambling on about the protection that she's offered to Michelle and how she's kept all her secrets and she'll fight tooth and nail. She'll do anything to protect her.
Michelle and Jesse follow them out. And Michelle, like, keeps saying, like, what the fuck are you talking about with, like, protecting me? Why do you keep saying that? She also keeps saying, everyone that comes near Jesse that night, even if she keeps going, don't touch my husband. Don't touch my husband. She keeps saying, don't touch my husband.
Jesse follows Kristen out. And he's like, if you come for my marriage, I'll fucking bury you. And I was like,
what does that mean?
What does that mean? And Kristen's like, come for it. What? I've done nothing but protect her. All I do is protect her. All I want is her protection. I want to protect her against the secrets. I want to protect her. And it's like, you're literally I'm obsessed with her psychology.
I know.
Because this is just her threatening people, thinking that she's like a justice warrior.
Michelle goes, do you know what you've done to my marriage, my family, Kristen? I was like,
what has she done? What? She can't do that much.
Yeah.
And Michelle,
I think Kristen getting canceled made her like literally lose her mind more than it already was.
I think so too. I think that was the final straw.
Yeah. Sorry. Shouldn't have done what you did.
Michelle, her tit is falling out of her dress and she
power.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Her nip is just like out.
Yeah.
She has a full blown conversation with Kristen with her nipple out. Kristen, which is another kind of power move to disarm like kind of a BPD bi girl is like just take a nipple out a little bit and
is Dodie bi?
I mean
she's everything.
Bi.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Everyone's fighting.
It becomes like a full-on like hallway rumble, which I was like, okay, this is the shit I want to see.
Yeah, this is the brawl that I signed up for. Jesse comes hurtling through the crowd, pushes Zach.
He pushes gay Zach, who like steps in just to like keep him back, and he shoves gay Zach. You see Zach like this.
He goes... he falls. Like, I wish gay Zach had been like...
Yeah.
Like falling down the wall, like I know. Tripped down the hallway,
and then down the stairs.
Mm-hmm. And then he like gets in Luke's grill, and then Luke is about to like beat his ass,
which I think he would.
Yeah, I think Luke would take like a hunting knife out of his like a legs,
yeah,
and like slit Jesse's throat.
Go, do you know how long it takes to bleed someone dry?
Luke is the fucking deer hunter.
He is totally. He's like...
He's deer hunter
vibes. He's Wolf Creek. And Kristen's in the background going, I know your secrets! I know your secrets!
I'll protect you from the
secrets! I'll protect you from the secrets! And then Michelle keeps going, don't touch my husband!
Jesse tries to brawl, and then like everyone gets like startled. And Kristen goes, are you okay? Are you okay? And are you okay? Okay, we're all okay. Thank God. I was like, what? You started this.
Yeah.
You started this with your threats.
And then she and Luke, she takes Luke into man's sleeve. So they like, power walk down the hallway into the elevator bank.
And Luke's like, I don't give a fuck. I'll say everything there is to say. And she goes, no, we can't. We must protect them. We can never say their secrets. It's the right thing to do to just be there for her and protect her because she is my friend and I will never tell. And then literally, that's when you know from the second
secret's
that
coming.
Any secret, even the mention of a secret comes out of Dodie's lips, you know it then. The clock is ticking to when she will reveal the secret of which she speaks.
She goes, and the secret is...
She goes, and the thing we cannot do is tell the secret that she's been having a boyfriend for a whole year.
She goes, there, we said it. We said it. And there then, we go. We said it.
And then Michelle's like, everyone, please gather in the conference room. I have something to say, and I would like to address the group as a whole. Everyone, please gather and sit. And she's going to literally give, like, a PowerPoint presentation.
That was giving Meredith going, security, security, please. I'm the hostess of this party, and this woman needs to be removed. Michelle went, join me in the ballroom again in the in conference room A.
I was...
They're suddenly at a convention.
They are. And I'm like, she's about to give, like, a board presentation for, like, the final boardroom vote.
She also is going to tell them, like, probably, like, I had an affair.
I hope that she fires up a PowerPoint and then goes through, like, a slideshow of their marriage and how, like, pie charts of how he failed her and, like, times that she's like, here's a pie chart representing times that I felt alone and supported in the past 5 years. And
as you can see, it's very small.
Sliver. She goes, as you can see, I was supported 2.5% of the time and the other 97.5% of the time I was not supported. Next slide, please. And then she goes, so here are my options. And it's like, have an affair, kill him, kill myself,
take the girl and run,
leave and change my identity. And she goes, I chose option A, have an affair. And like, tells it all out. And
there's a brief respite called the Capri years.
Yeah,
where it was like kind of good.
She goes, this is sponsored by Capri Tourism
Air
Board.
Capri.
Alitalia.
Air Capri.
Alitalia has sponsored because they need it. It's not that great of an airline. And she's now.
They have a Capri room that they have to read.
If you use the code
Affair,
Michelle's Affair, you'll get 5% off of your next Alitalia.
And Brittany goes, oh man, we can use that for a date night.
Oh, Jack, that's, we should go there for a date night.
Talk about a date night. That's a date week.
Brittany goes, I have a question. And she goes, yes, you, Brittany, what's your question? She goes, I imagine that Capri has good date nights. Is that true?
Michelle goes, yes, there's lots of cliffside restaurants, beachside bars.
There. I can give you a list that I've made with the tourism board of places that Jesse and I had incredible date nights in Capri.
She goes, oh, it's good. Thank you so much, Michelle. Carry on.
And she goes, so as my affair progressed, here's a line graph showing my affair getting more steamy and my interest in Jesse, as you'll see, it's trending downward 20% year over year. Until now, it's actually gone lower than zero, which means I'm at a crucial point of deciding, again, options. Do I continue the affair? Do I divorce him or do I murder him? I don't want to do that. So I am here to tell you all that I shall be choosing option A and B, a hybrid option, as my therapist and I like to call it. And I have let him know as of 2 hours ago that I will be divorcing him in 2 months.
And everyone goes, there's a silence, and everyone goes, and then it's silence again. And then all of a sudden, Brittany goes, a la Reba. Well, all right.
Well, okay, then.
Let's have dinner.
She goes, can we have dessert?
And then everyone, the audience applauds, and it goes, do, 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 do.
She goes, so now I would like all, as the board of trustees, the Valley Trust, to vote on whether or not we let Jesse live or we stone him to death. She goes, please, you write on your piece of paper, and we'll collect them.
She goes, and then afterwards she goes, 7 yeas, 2 nays. Jesse, I'm sorry, you will be stoned in the Mondrian Bazaar Square.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, no!
And you know who throws the first stone? Miss Burning Man. Mama, for sure.
And then Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
Gabby goes, and then she and Michelle start making out. And she goes, I was always here for her.
And that was her affair the entire time.
Yeah.
It was never a man. It was always Gabby.
And they ride off into the sunset
keeping
together.
Keeping eyes on Michelle.
Yeah.
I love this.
It was always me.
It was always me.
You were never the one.
And she's just topless.
Yeah, and then she throws a brick at his temple.
Mama skull crushes him. She curb stomps him.
And Sherry's in the corner going...
And Brittany goes, God, Jax, isn't this romantic?
This is a real date night if I ever have one.
You want to fuck after this?
He's like, no.
He goes, I want your cum.
Speaking of date night, you can make a date night out of seeing Laura and I on tour. Coming up very soon. We have our Seattle show is now sold out. So we have three shows sold out.
Seattle's gone, gone, gone.
New York.
Your chance was there and then it like a feather in the wind, blew away.
First, so show one of New York and Chicago were sold out.
Mm-hmm.
Show two of New York and Chicago were selling really fast. So those will have a low ticket warning, I'm sure, at some point very soon.
Yeah.
Seattle's fully sold out. Toronto is a low ticket warning.
Toronto's going. Vancouver, we still have tickets available.
Philly.
Get on it. Philly.
Guys, this is my home. Like, I need you guys to come out.
I know Philly's weirdly dragging their feet, but I feel like they're just being like silly Philly about it.
Yeah,
because
I hope that
show always sells out, so I'm not worried about it. You'll have some splaining to do for your town.
Yeah.
What else? Late night shows in Chicago and New York.
10 p.m., 10:30 p.m.
Boston.
D.C.
Go to sexyuniquepodcast.com and you'll get the rundown and links to buy tickets. And without further ado...
The date night cult shout out.
The Date Night Crew. Alex Delisle.
Alex Delisle.
Pia from Australia.
Pia from Australia.
Make a Fresh.
Make a Fresh.
DJ Boop Boop.
DJ Boop Boop.
Rachel in Dublin.
Rachel in Dublin.
Sophie Elizabeth.
Sophie Elizabeth.
Emily Bond.
Emily.
Gina.
Gina.
Sabrina.
Sap.
Sarah Elizabeth.
Sarah.
Lucy from London.
Lucy from London.
Brooke Johansson.
Brooke Johansson.
Rachel Knight.
Rachel Knight.
Brittany Ryan Wise.
Brittany Ryan Wise.
Danielle McMillan from
Mom's. Danielle McMillan.
Brittany Wakowski. Late Swamp Witch Gifts.
Gifts of Fox.
Jessica Hernandez.
Jessica Hernandez.
Malstoff.
Malstoff.
Mary.
Mary.
Mike Earhart.
Mike Earhart.
Sherbaum Realtor.
Sherbaum Realtor.
Timothy Shields.
Timothy Chalamet.
Summer Moon Honey Day.
Summer Moon Honey Day.
Rogue Stanley. Matthew Thomas.
Matthew Thomas.
Alison Robinson.
Alison Robinson.
Los Angeles. Mara Kay.
Mara Kay.
Kathy Weaver.
Kathy Weaver.
Kit Moore.
Kit Moore.
Hillary from
Hillary
Chicago.
From...
Orlando.
Orlando.
Patron of the Fox.
Patron of the Fox.
David from Switzerland.
David from Switzerland.
Nick Sedaris.
Sedaris.
Emily.
Emily.
Kim Lucas.
Kim Lucas.
Jenny Hogan. RJ.
Jeffrey Pratima. Pratima. Pratima.
Date night.
Date night.
Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more stuff and just can't get enough, and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.